welcome to Tailwinds, the podcast of Air and Space Operations Review. I'm Laura Thurston Goodrow, and today we're joined by Air Force Major Victor Lopez and Air Force Captain Alexander Farrow, authors of AI Readiness in a U.S. Air Force Squadron, in our summer 2023 issue. Major Lopez is assigned to AFWERX Spark's ARC branch, the Boston Hub, which he helped establish. The hub supports the Air Force's relationship with MIT and the Boston tech community. Victor was previously assigned to the Department of the Air Force and MIT Artificial Intelligence Accelerator as part of the initial cadre. He holds a Master of Science in Systems Engineering from Georgia Tech and is an MQ-9 instructor pilot and has accrued nearly 2,000 combat hours over the last 9 years. Captain Alexander Farrow is a remotely piloted aircraft pilot at Creech Air Force Base. He led research on AI integration and innovation strategy as a graduate student in Harvard Business School's MBA program. Xander was the top graduate from a remotely piloted aircraft pilot training in 2018 and has served as an instructor pilot in the ERQ-4B Global Hawk, leading high-altitude reconnaissance missions in support of national objectives. Welcome to the podcast, gentlemen.
Thanks so much. I'm excited.
Thank you for having us.
So first, I'd like to ask our authors about the genesis of their interest in the subject of their research. What led you both to want to research and write about artificial intelligence in the Air Force workplace?
I think I'll take that one. So from Victor here, I think that we saw this transformation happen in 2019. So a little bit of background, the Department of the Air Force and MIT's Artificial Intelligence Accelerator was started, if you will, in 2019, the executive order and subsequent order from the Secretary of the Air Force at the time, Secretary Wilson. And the goal here was to ensure that the Air Force and the Department of the Defense was leading the nation in artificial intelligence. And how do we integrate this new technology into our operations and day-to-day lives after some disturbing news articles coming out from some of our near-peer adversaries? And as we began the process of standing up this research and development unit in a completely unclassified manner so that anyone could audit and question and peer review our research academically, we had the simultaneous mission of integrating this technology into the workplace of the Department of the Air Force for our Air and Space Forces. And as we did that, we realized we had a lot of work to do in 2019. How do we educate our folks on this technology? How do we set up our technical infrastructure? How do we reduce some of the technical debt? These are very common themes, actually, across business, across many companies, across the world who are attempting to integrate this technology. And the Air Force really is no different. And so the genesis of this paper is we wanted to understand and try and provide a framework for frontline leaders to make this ubiquitous across all of our squadrons, really at the squadron level, to change the culture, to think about data in a new way, to think about models in a new way.
Yeah. And for me, in the summer of 2022, in between both of my years in the MBA program at Harvard Business School, Victor brought me on as an intern working for the DAF MIT AI Accelerator. And that sort of got me immersed in some of the tensions that that organization was dealing with, innovating AI for the Department of the Air Force. And in my second year in the MBA program, I really became interested in how legacy bureaucratic organizations pioneer innovation and deal with organizational tensions like red tape or technical debt and overstandardization. And I started realizing that a lot of the same tensions that the Air Force deals with are actually pretty prevalent in the private sector as well. A lot of companies are, you know, struggling through the same exact problem sets. And I became very interested in bridging that gap between how the Air Force innovates and how the private sector innovates, because there are a lot of commonalities.
There are a lot of commonalities. So I was interested, the CSAF Leadership Library's July post featured a Harvard Business Review for a series podcast from May discussing AI and business operations. So in the organizational culture episode, one speaker notes that AI can threaten or expand your business model, emphasizing the importance of the right culture. The other speaker, Harvard Business School professor and author Sadal Neely, who you reference in the article, talks about the importance of not relegating AI integration to the IT team, but making it an inclusive all-unit effort. She also stresses the importance of personal responsibility and the key role of leaders, especially at the team, or in this case, the squadron level, play in ensuring buy-in and efficacy of AI. She emphasizes trust and says, one can't be a mediocre leader in the world of generative AI that is poised to transform every organization, every industry in ways that we can't really understand today. So you emphasize these things in your article, and we'll talk about your recommendations in greater detail a little bit later. But first, can you say a few words about Professor Neely's advice to leaders?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely critical that leaders of all levels in an organization buy into innovation strategy in general. The podcast mentions that so often there is a lot of pressure from the bottom up, from frontline workers to pioneer innovation. And oftentimes it's the policies created by leaders at all tiers that either stifle or encourage that. And so I think it's absolutely critical, not just for squadron commanders, not just for senior leaders, but leaders, as I said, at all levels, to understand ways that you can implement advanced technology like AI and facilitate an environment in which workers feel, and airmen feel empowered to experiment, to innovate, to press the boundaries of what is possible. And that starts simply with leaders understanding the technology, like I said, understanding ways to modify the organization to allow for experimentation and also empower airmen to press the boundaries of what is possible.
So moving to the article, in the article, you outline challenges such as withholding information, over standardization, technical debt, and acquisition limitations, which I think we all have, and a specific action plan for squadron commanders to integrate AI into ops. Can you walk us through that?
So every organization deals with tensions regarding digital transformation, but there are a couple of caveats that I think are maybe more salient in the Air Force context and maybe other organizations in the private sector. And as you mentioned, there are four that we note in the article. Overstandardization is a really interesting one because in the military context, we require some level of standardization to make sure that operations run smoothly and according to plan. But overstandardization oftentimes stifles innovation and constrains thinking to a very narrow set of pathways. And so there's always this tension that leaders have to deal with, especially in the Air Force context, with how much do you overstandardize? How much do you allow for experimentation? That's one of the considerations that makes it maybe a little bit more arduous to implement innovation in the Air Force context. And in our article, we break it down into two major sections. So squadron commanders need to encourage, number one, data-centric innovation and also ideation. Data-centric innovation, there are a couple components to that, but essentially the squadron commander needs to set a strategy for how the squadron can go about tying their core mission set with a data-centric mindset and proliferate that amongst the leadership of all tiers.
Thanks, Xander. I think that was really interesting. And what I really want to hone in on here is the ability of a squadron commander to find the data that is relevant to their mission. They are producing data every day, whether that data is a sortie that is being generated or even something as simple as how many pilots are flying per day and how many hours. And what does that look like in a predictive model? Our job at the tactical level is to inform our leaders about what our capabilities are and what our future capabilities might be so that we can answer the correct mission statements and meet the needs of whatever our senior leaders have asked of us in the military. At the core, that is our mission. Machine learning and predictive models allow us to have a new insight and new understandings of what our future capacity might be based of our previous work and our previous output. And that is really something that is interesting. And this is the same thing that excites businesses about machine learning. It's just about a predictive model. So back in elementary school or middle school, maybe, probably middle school, you learned Y equals MX plus B, right? You probably put a bunch of dots on a line, you found a line of best fit, and then they gave you an unknown or a known X, and you had to find the unknown Y with the line of best fit. At its core, that's all machine learning really is. We're extrapolating a line with multiple different inputs now, so more X's, to some type of Y, whatever that might be. There was a bunch of airmen that were super creative in a KOC recently that I visited who were weather troops, and they used the past 20 years of data fighting in their AOR to determine a prediction of what the weather might be like on a certain day, so that when we were planning for a mission, we could give a prediction based off of a percentage. What is the likelihood that we're going to have a successful mission based off the weather that we expect on those days with the past 20 years of information? Those are the type of insights that we're really trying to get after here. And understanding that from a bottom-up perspective means you're going to start collecting the data to make better decisions.
Yeah, we actually had an article in ASOR that talked about gathering this data and using it toward having a collection to pull from and operationalizing data.
Yes.
So it sounds like you're seeing some changes. You know, we're just 8 months out from the first formal announcement of functioning publicly available text generators using large language models, ChatGPT, Bard, et cetera. So how do you guys see the Air Force reacting to this?
Man, my email is inundated. It's a good thing. That's a good thing, right? So AFWERX Spark is the military-facing arm of AFWERX, if you will. We help enable our Spark cells. These are little tiny innovation cells across the DoD. This is a great place for me. I love it. I love that part of the mission. And I think daily I get emails from everyone from A1Cs all the way through SESs about large language models or about some new predictive model or something that they want to get done. I'm working really hard to start building the infrastructure to allow airmen to really start experimenting here and start asking these questions, knowing the nuances of it, and then go and collect the data within their mission. One tech sergeant I recently connected with wanted to know if he could create autocomplete TAFs. If you don't know, a TAF is, oh goodness, the weather guys are going to get mad at me. Terminal Aerodrome Forecast, I believe is the correct acronym. It's just a forecast that flyers use. And his job is to make these for the pilots. And he wanted to know, could we autocomplete these using an LLM from the data? And that would speed up his workflow and let him have more time instead of typing out all this information. He was really excited by that. And so I'm watching him basically program and develop this on his own on an Air Force computer. And it's great. In 2019, I don't know that I could point you to a whole lot of data fabrics or places where you could code at the IL-4 or IL-5 level. So these are classification levels in the Air Force or even at the secret level and above. Today, I can point you to actually a slew of options that sometimes we get lost in to store your data at the appropriate classification level, either at the controlled and classified or at the secret level, to program Python or R, or whatever suits your fancy, or to run an API into something like Azure OpenAI Service or another large language model. So between the Defense Research Engineering Network, between our high performance computing clusters, our Chief Data and Artificial Intelligence offices, both at the DAF and at the DoD level, everyone is kind of working towards building the infrastructure to allow airmen to do what they do best, innovate, work hard, and find new solutions. That's where the magic happens.
That's great. I'm glad you talked about AFWERX. I was going to talk about that a little bit for listeners who don't know what AFWERX is or what they do. Even some people in the Air Force, I don't think, are as well-versed as maybe should be in the mission of that organization. Well, so progress on this is kind of going faster than we can, at least us old people, me as an old person, you know, are sort of, you know, sets us back a little bit. And so I want to talk a little bit about guardrails and caution. As you guys know, the leaders of the leading AI companies and a total of about 350 executives, researchers, and engineers working in AI warned in May about an existential threat to humanity from this technology. So that language, existential threat to humanity, is really astonishing. That's very powerful. And it could be chalked up to hyperbole if it weren't for the authors and signatories to the letter. So innovation is critical, but risk needs to be managed at all levels, especially when it comes to military operations and national security. So from your perspectives, do you have any words of caution?
I think I'm going to leave the words of caution to some of our senior leaders here. So we, back in 2020, developed a DoD ethical principles for AI, and it defines those principles. Actually, you can go look them up. They are public, that are going to apply to both combat and non-combat operations and assist us, and I'm quoting, U.S. military in upholding legal, ethical, and policy commitments in the field of AI. These ethical principles really go through five different tenets. So ensuring that we are responsible, equitable, traceable, reliable, and governable. And then to go even further, we have six foundational tenets of responsible AI. So if you're even just to dig into one of those, and I'm not going to go through all of them, right? But governance, warfighter trust, product and acquisition lifecycle for AI, requirements validation, responsible ecosystems, and an AI workforce. So a whole lot has actually been written from our senior leaders, and we want to make sure that we fall in line with that. I think that for the average airman, right, which hopefully will listen to the podcast and say like, hey, I want to go and play. That innovation, that playfulness, that, you know, intrapreneurship is what we'll call it, right? Developing something new within the organization, within the brownfield. That is, I think, 100% desired. And we should continue to push that way. Most of these technologies are simple predictive models. They're going to get us from point A to point B. They're going to write, you know, forecasts for us. They're going to help us make better pilot schedules. They're going to maybe give us some alt P&T solutions, right? Relatively benign technologies. And I think that is where the current state of the art for things that we want to put into production is ready for. I think that some of the folks who have talked about the existential threat, something that we should absolutely pay attention to, I want to believe that they're probably looking a little bit more into the future about how, you know, a large language model may continue to increase in its capacity and give us more. From what I've seen in production for things that we care about, there's still a lot of flaws and issues with how we might actually get to use that in production in our everyday environment. And if I'm not able to take a model in, you know, repeating the ethical principles here, trace why that model made the decision based off of the data that I have, that's not something that I'm going to want to use because our risks are just too high. I think many companies are saying this as well. And so why it might be cool to see the Sims play out in a Westworld scenario, right, with Stanford. I think they just released that paper as well as their code last week. So it was mid-August, I believe, depending on when this podcast comes out. That is really cool and super fun to play with. I don't know that I'm going to use that tomorrow to play the Sims in a squadron, right? Because I don't think we're there yet for production, right? For something that I want to use daily in our everyday life. But I'm interested to see, you know, is Westworld going to be real tomorrow? I don't know. I don't know that anyone does. I do know that these types of threats and these cautions have actually traced back all the way to the 1950s when artificial intelligence first came out. There's some real fun videos of the 1960s and 70s of professors at MIT actually talking about the singularity and computers taking over. It's 2023. We're still waiting. I think I can still turn off my laptop. I'm going to try after the podcast. But you know, we're going to continue pressing. And until then, we have some really great guidelines that the DoD CDAO and DAF CDAO have put out for us.
Well, that's good to hear. I think that allays some fears of some people. It's always interesting to be going into this uncharted territory. So do either one of you have any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I think as we were talking about earlier, I think one of the most important pieces of the article in general is that it's a responsibility of leaders of all levels to really take up this call to action and implement change in their respective organizations. And that starts with understanding how to redesign the organization, how to restructure your processes, and how to build up the talent that you need at the grassroots level. So I think this paper at the end of the day is really a call to action to commanders to take this seriously and to start implementing a data-centric mindset in their organizations and subsequently integrate AI in a responsible and effective way.
I love that. I think the only thing I would add is don't be afraid to change how things are done. I've had a few comments in the last few weeks about Salsa just give me a bullet background paper and a slide because that's what we need. Sorry, Salsa is my call sign. Apologies. Victor, give me a bullet background paper and a slide. And I totally understand where that's coming from. And many commanders need this. Again, our job is to inform our leadership about what our capabilities are, what we're doing, and how we're going to move forward to answer the mail on what the mission is. That is our job. I would implore some of our leaders and our squadron commanders to look at things like Envision on our controlled and classified systems, or things like the Vault from the CDAO. And how airmen are starting to use dashboards to update data live. And instead of spending 20 minutes, an hour, 3 hours a week creating PowerPoint slides to brief up the chain that immediately becomes old because the data probably changed in that time, how do we create live data that can live on our live systems to create a live look at how things are doing? And that might mean that you're going to have to change your internal process about how you evaluate and how you desire the reporting to happen. So if we continue to require static documents, we're going to get them. But if we start thinking a little bit differently about how we can use this technology, we're going to immediately start shaping how we're going to collect data so that we can answer the mail when it comes down. And I think that's really the more exciting part of this. It's going to require a little bit of change from the bottom about how we collect it, how we store it, all the way to the top.
I agree. Well, I really appreciate both of you joining us on Tailwinds today, and I commend your article to our readers and look forward to hearing more from you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.